Coming to you now is Lehem Panim with your host, Pastor Cameron Urey, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Hello and welcome to the show today. It's such a pleasure to have you with us again as we study the Word of God together. You know, over the past few weeks, we've been moving in our study of the book of Acts into the final stage of Paul's ministry, as he's now a prisoner in chains. He has stood before the Roman tribune and the crowd there in Jerusalem. He has stood before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council responsible for condemning Jesus. He has stood before the Roman governor Felix, who, think about it, kept him in prison for 2 whole years without any sufficient grounds to do so. Then Paul stood before the Roman governor Festus, who wanted to do Paul's Jewish accusers a favor and send him back to Jerusalem to be tried. Obviously, that would not bode well for Paul, and so Paul is forced to appeal his case to Caesar. And so Festus has no choice but to send him. But then Herod Agrippa II and his sister Bernice come to town. And so Festus decides to have Paul stand before them as well, his hope being that Agrippa might help him to establish charges against Paul that would make sense, charges that would be sent with Paul to Rome. And so Paul has had a real time of it. I mean, he's getting bounced around. Nobody really knows what to do with Paul. Oh, and let's not forget that during this time, there have also been 2 assassination attempts on Paul's life. So, I mean, Paul has been through a lot. And so Paul comes to stand before Herod Agrippa II and Bernice, and Festus is there as well, and he's invited to speak. And so Paul shares the most powerful evidence he could have shared of the truth of Christianity. He shares his own personal testimony. And in his testimony, he gives a number of key statements. First, he says, "I lived a Pharisee," meaning that all his life, he lived as one of the most educated, most elite Jewish spiritual leaders. And being zealous to defend Judaism from what he perceived to be this heretical group of people following this Rabbi Jesus, he came to viciously ravage the Christian church. But then he says key statement number 2, "I saw a light." While on the road to Damascus to further his persecution of Christians, he was struck by a blinding light. And then he says key statement number 3, "I heard a voice." Jesus appeared to him on that road to Damascus and spoke to him and called him to be his missionary to the Gentiles. And so that leads into our passage today where Paul tells of how he responded to that call from Jesus. He says in verse 19 and following, "Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance." And key statement number 4 is found here. "I was not disobedient." God said, "Jump," and Paul asked, "How high?" At least that's how obedience was described to me when I was young. Wherever God told Paul to go, he went. To whomever God called him to go, he went. And that even included the Gentiles. Now, the Jews had reacted violently to that, but also to Paul saying something else absolutely unthinkable, that they also needed to repent. That they, just as he had been, were in spiritual darkness and needed to, like he did, turn to faith in Jesus Christ, the very one they had persecuted and crucified. But sadly, that was something that many of them were not willing to do, Which is why Paul says in verse 21 and following, "For these reasons, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles." And here we find key statement number 5. To this day, I stand. You see, Paul didn't just have a great beginning. No, as he tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:7, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." The fact that Paul had continued on in the midst of so much resistance, so much loss of reputation, so little worldly gain, it spoke volumes as to the proof of his conversion, and was itself evidence of the faithfulness of God in his life. Now, after Paul says this, it says, "Now, as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, 'Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad.' But he said, 'I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things. For I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner.'" Now, what Paul is doing here is he's appealing to the facts. This wasn't just some hypothetical, philosophical, or theological issue. Someone had died and then had come back from the dead. There were still people around who had seen Jesus and witnessed his miracles. The empty tomb could still be seen. People were still alive who had themselves seen Jesus after his resurrection. This wasn't a philosophical debate. It was a historically reliable event that took place and could be verified in time and space. And not only were there present witnesses, but past witnesses as well, who prophesied that all these things would come to pass. Which is why Paul asks in verse 27, "King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." Now, this is where things get really interesting, because Paul is trying to close the deal. And Agrippa realizes it. It suddenly dawns on Agrippa that Paul is not really the one on trial. Agrippa's on trial. Paul's not just defending himself or his faith. No, he's actually trying to persuade him to become a follower of Jesus Christ. And Paul has really put Agrippa on the spot, because if Agrippa answers Paul saying, "I don't believe the prophets," then he would anger the Jews who were there. But if he acknowledges that he does believe the prophets, then he would have to give weight to Paul's words. And so he does what so many people, even today, do. He sidesteps the issue. And then, as we'll see in a minute, he simply ends the discussion when it gets a little too close for comfort. But before that happens, Paul responds, saying to Agrippa, "And Paul said, 'I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains.'" Now, it's here that Paul really reveals his own heart. He was aware that Agrippa and those in the audience were, because of their lack of faith in Christ, more in bondage spiritually than he was physically. And he was more concerned about that than the fact that he himself was in chains. He cared more about their chains because theirs were eternal ones. And similarly, I think you and I, we need to be aware of the spiritual chains of those around us, those who do not yet know Jesus Christ. And we must be willing to bear anything to help them be rid of those chains. We need to have the burning desire that Paul had to reach those people, and by persuading them to faith, give them the keys by which they can be free and enter the kingdom of heaven. Now it says in verse 30 and following, when he had said these things, the king stood up, as well as the governor and Bernice and those who sat with them. And when they had gone aside, they talked among themselves, saying, this man is doing nothing deserving of death or chains. And so once again, Luke highlights for us the innocence of Paul. Then Agrippa said to Festus, this man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. Now that would be a depressing note to end on if we forgot that it was actually Paul's desire to go to Rome anyway. He wanted to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the epicenter of the empire, where he knew it could make a far-reaching impact. And so his appealing to Caesar, it became the very means of getting exactly where God wanted him to be. Paul was a master of seeing the possibilities in the midst of his problems. Every trial he faced was a divine appointment, through which he found opportunities to lift up the name of Jesus. And that's what you and I need to do as well. Now, one of the things that is depressing and really saddened my heart in studying this passage was what Agrippa says to Paul in verse 28. You almost persuade me to become a Christian. Here we see that he was on the very verge of finding new life in Jesus Christ, but he couldn't or wouldn't cross that threshold. Why? Because he was too tied to the world. He was too wrapped up in his ungodly relationship with his sister, which we talked about some weeks ago. He was too caught up in his fame. He was too caught up in his power. And yet now we see that it is Paul and the Jesus that Paul proclaimed that is remembered. But all that Agrippa had is dead and gone. He chose those things that pass away. Jesus had warned and continues to warn us in Matthew 6:19-21. He said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's a lesson to each and every one of us. Because so often you and I are tempted to entangle ourselves with the things of the world. We can become like the seed sown among the thorns in Jesus' parable of the sower in Matthew 13. He says, now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Let me ask you, is that you today? If so, let me ask you another question, one that comes straight from Jesus in Mark 8:36. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? I want to encourage you this week, don't let anything stop you from knowing Christ in all of his fullness. Amen.
Today's episode of Lehem Panim has been made possible by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's word. and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to request any of our messages here on Lehem Panim, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or lehempanim.org. You can also find us on both Facebook and Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.